Well, greetings, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, maybe some particular issue in life that's troubling to you, you're struggling with, well, we cordially invite you right now to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this particular broadcast. Andrew Farley is with me today. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, great to be here, Bob. Thanks.
Well, it's always good to have you, and we always appreciate the keen insights and wisdom that you bring to the broadcast. This month, Andrew, we're talking about Jesus, the Jesus you can know. You know, he's not just a historical figure, one that did something for us 2,000 years ago. He's somebody that was raised back to life, and he's alive today, which means that we can know him. We can get to know him personally. And I think the first way we get to know him is as our Savior. We recognize that he died for our sins, and we accept that and receive him into our lives as Savior. But the next thing is probably the fact that we learn that Jesus is Lord. So we hear that phrase a lot, don't we? We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But he indeed is Lord. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is talking about eating food offered to idols, and he draws this conclusion. He says, yet for us. Now, there are a lot of people that believe in idols, and they say that there are many gods and there's many lords. But for us who believe in Christ, there is one God, the Father, from whom all things are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. So we have one Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I think as we grow in grace and grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's one of the things that starts to emerge. We get to know him as Lord, and we learn to trust and depend and rely upon him in all things. And that's an exciting aspect of knowing Jesus. You know, back in the day, back in Paul's day, Caesar was Lord, and everybody bowed the knee to Caesar and the Roman Empire. And Paul came with this revolutionary message saying, no, it's not Caesar, it's Jesus. He's the one true Lord. And that's who we've come to know as believers in Christ. And it changes everything, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, Jesus as Lord means that he's our director. He manages our attitudes and actions internally. It also means that he's our designer. I mean, if Jesus Christ is Lord of all, then he is creator, he is designer, and then that has something to say about our design. If I'm going to understand my design, I need to go to the designer. If I'm going to understand how I am to function and operate, I should go to the one who is supposed to be manager in my life, and I learn a great deal. So, you know, there are folks out there saying that as Christians we should make Jesus Lord. I think what we're saying is that Jesus is Lord. And, you know, Luke chapter 2 announces him that way. In the city of David, there's been born Christ the Lord. Romans 10 says we confess Jesus as Lord. Colossians 3 says we do all in the name of the Lord. And then you pop over to Revelation, and it says that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. So this is Jesus's status. We can recognize that. We could act like it's not true if we want to for a while. But there's actually, Bob, tremendous relief in celebrating that Jesus is Lord, that he knows everything, that he knows my heart, he knows my identity, he knows what's healthy for me, he's the best counselor on the planet, he's an authority on everything, he's the king of all. And when I submit to that beautiful truth, it's actually relieving to have someone who knows what they're talking about. I've got the world coming at me with an identity for me. I've got relatives and friends and enemies out there coming to me with an identity for me. And to, instead of looking to the external, looking to Jesus as the authority on all things me, well, that's a tremendous relief to have that go to, and to recognize his authority is just the most natural, normal, and beautiful thing in the world.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is the Jesus you can know. You can know him as your personal Savior. You can know him as Lord. And there's so much more about him that we're going to talk about through this entire month of March. But we've created a wonderful resource that we want to place in your hands. It's called The Jesus You Can Know. So we take a look at various passages in the New Testament that describe Jesus, that tell us who he is and how we can know him in those particular ways, and really allow his character, his life, who he is, to shape us and to transform us, as the Bible says, into his image. And so we want to put this into your hands. It's The Jesus You Can Know. It's available along with your gift to Basic Gospel this month. We encourage you to go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and follow all the instructions there. And be sure and click the box that says, send me The Jesus You Can Know, and we'll get that to you as quickly as possible. In all my years of ministry, Andrew, every time I've done a study just focused on the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, it's in those studies that I've seen the most growth, the most transformation in the lives of the people. And I know this can be true in our listeners' lives as well, as they get to know this Jesus who's made himself known to us today. So please order your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. We'll get that to you as quickly as possible. Well, we do have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Andrew, we had this call that came to us from David overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, this is David from Portland, Oregon. I just have a question concerning, I know it's written in the Bible that, you know, no one comes to the Father except through me, and that's Jesus talking. But it also says, you know, you are judged on the level of your revelation. And we've gotten things written by, like, C.S. Lewis, you know, like in the end of the Narnia series, you get, like, the person that was against Aslan, and he ends up in the end in heaven. So, you know, I'm just confused on where the line is, how that works. I'm not sure if that, you know, humans know about that entirely, but what is the theology behind that? Thank you.
That's a great question, isn't it, Andrew? And where do we draw the line with what the Word of God has to say and what C.S. Lewis or any other theologian might have to say?
Well, first we can turn to Romans chapter 1. We learn about how creation reveals God to us. So there's a natural revelation in God's creation, planet Earth, the solar system, the universe. All of it speaks to God as creator and that there is a God. And then we see that his invisible qualities, I mean, who he is, what he's like, that's also revealed in creation. And Romans actually says something very interesting. It says that we are without excuse. And then you pop over to Psalm 19. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. And it goes on, it says, their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. So whether you're looking at Romans 1 or Psalm 19, there is this idea of natural revelation and therefore a natural responsibility for us to call upon God. And when we don't, we have no excuse. So we do have to tread lightly, take everything with a grain of salt. When a popular author or teacher says something, we always want to go back to Scripture, Bob, and examine that and recognize that, you know, we're not going to find in Scripture that there's level 2 and level 4 and level 7. there is God as creator, and Jesus is always the name we call upon. God is going to bring us to understand who Jesus is, what he did for us through the cross, what he did for us through the resurrection. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. I mean, this is what Scripture is testifying again and again to, Bob. And so, you know, we just want to be careful. Anytime we're reading something that is a book or hearing a teaching, we want to always go back and compare it with what God's Word actually says.
Yeah, that is so so good and so clear, Andrew. And a lot of times, you know, when people ask questions such as this, you know, are we going to be judged based on the amount of revelation that we received? And I think that takes God out of the equation somewhat. I mean, God's big enough to get the message concerning his son to anybody, anywhere, at any time. And if somebody recognizes through nature that there is a God and says in his heart, hey, I want to know who that is, I think God is going to be faithful in delivering to that person the message concerning his son so that that person can call upon the name of the Lord. And I think that's true of anybody at anywhere at any time. So we must realize that God is big enough to do what is necessary to save whoever who has a heart that is seeking after him.
Yeah, and you know, the other thought, Bob, is that Romans also tells us that the righteous requirements of God's law are written on the conscience of every human being. So whether you are born into this world as a Jewish person looking to tablets of stone and looking to 613 commandments within Judaism, or you're a Gentile from one of the hundreds of nations around the world, you're born into that nation. Well, the Bible tells us that there is conviction. There's conviction in the conscience. There's conviction on the heart because we grow up knowing there's something wrong with me. I have a God-shaped vacuum inside of me. I'm dead. I need life. I'm addicted to evil. I don't even understand why, and I need a solution for this. So again and again, Bob, the book of Romans comes to our rescue in understanding this issue much better.
Yes, indeed. And I think you said something really profound there. We're dead. We need life. And Jesus is the only one that has life to give us, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that true? So.
Yes, that's what he said. I've come that they might have life. And that's the offer on the table. That's what we receive in him.
Yeah, so salvation is being made alive together with Christ. And either you're dead in sin or alive in Jesus. Those are the only two options on the table. So, David, thanks for that call. I hope you were listening, and I hope that helps. We had this call that came in overnight as well, and Andrew, I think we'll spend a little bit of time dealing with this particular question. Let's take a listen.
I want to know, is there really truly a sin to commit suicide? Do you automatically go to hell and serve the doom, the bringer against God forever? Or does Jesus look into your heart on Judgment Day? Does your heart truly sing and show what you truly believe and how you truly feel? What does Jesus see is what I want to know. And how many times do you have to sin over and over and over to not be forgiven?
Boy, you could hear the pain and despair in her heart and in that question, and it really gets down to this forgiveness issue, doesn't it? Has Christ taken away our sin, or hasn't he? And that's the question that every person wrestles with at some point in their lives, sometimes some more than others. And so how do we answer her? How do we give Kimberly some hope in her pain?
Well, Kimberly, I would say first there's really a twofold answer here. The first has to do with what Jesus did for you on the cross. As he shed his blood, as he took your sins away, as he says, I remember your sins no more. And then secondly, you're asking, what does God see when he looks at me? Does he see my heart? And we have some good news there too, Bob, because, you know, the cross and the resurrection mean that we get a gift of righteousness, that we get a new heart. So let's, I think you're absolutely correct, Bob, that we're going to want to take a little bit of time and say, all right, what does God's word say about our forgiveness? I mean, Hebrews chapter 10, it says that if the Old Testament people, if they had what we have today, then they would have been cleansed once for all. And that's what we have. We have once for all cleansing. 1 Peter 3 says Jesus died once for all. Hebrews goes on in chapter 9 to say that Jesus took away our sins. And that's what John the Baptist announced. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hebrews 9 says Jesus took away our sins. And then it says in the 10th chapter that he sat down, that he is done, that he is saying it is finished. He rested from his perfect work accomplished on the cross. So, Kimberly, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you're born again, if you're a believer, then you are totally forgiven. You're forgiven of 10 million nasty thoughts that you've entertained. You're forgiven of 10 million actions you've taken. You are forgiven of every sin imaginable. There are no partially forgiven people on this planet. We are either in Adam, unforgiven, or we are in Christ, having received total forgiveness. There's no middle ground. And Bob, that's a beautiful truth to just recognize, that we can sit down with Jesus and we can say it's finished. Colossians 2 says he forgave us all our sins. Maybe that's one, Kimberly, that you could jot down, hang from your mirror, and use as a reminder of powerful truth every day, that he forgave us all our sins. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, he canceled the debt. He made us alive. So, Bob, you know, forgiveness is half of the answer here. But Kimberly also said, when God looks at me, what does he see about me? Does he see my heart? And I feel like that really feeds into another powerful truth that can really help her.
Yes, indeed. And that truth is the fact that we've been made alive together with Christ. That the full story of the gospel is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He died to take away our sins. He was raised so that we might have life. And when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're made alive together with Christ. We're made new creatures in Christ. Well, what does that mean? It means that we have a new heart, that God has taken out that heart of stone and replaced it with a heart of flesh that's pliable and receptive and dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have new desires, new wants, a new purpose, a new person to have affections toward, and that's Jesus Christ himself. So we have to recognize that Jesus dealt with the sin issue once and for all, and he did that so that we could enjoy this relationship, kind of a heart-to-heart relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So, Kimberly, for you, you're wondering, have you outsinned the grace of God? Have you crossed a line that God is unable to reach you? And the answer to that is absolutely not, because he's already removed all of those sins. They've been dealt with once and for all. And now, if you have not come to Christ, if you have not received him by faith, the Bible is saying to you, draw near. He is there for you, and he wants his love to open the door of your heart so that he can come and enter in and be your very life and to give you that new heart, so that when you stand before him, you can stand before him in utter confidence, knowing that as he is, so are you. That's the confidence that you can have in Christ Jesus. And boy, that is great news, Andrew. And so oftentimes we just stop at the cross and we don't go ahead to the resurrection, do we?
Right. And this whole thing, you know, we want to wrap it up here with Kimberly by giving another dose of encouragement, and that is that he'll never leave you. I mean, this is the promise. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And nobody can snatch you out of his hand. Even at the times when we are faithless, God remains faithful. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Nothing separates you from the love of Jesus. So, you know, you've got the total forgiveness, and that is so inspiring. You've got the new heart, and that is so assuring because God sees who you are, who he has made you to be. And then lastly, we've got the promise of God, the truthfulness of God, that he'll never ditch us, he'll never abandon us. Bob, he'll always be there for us.
Yeah, that's good news. Kimberly, we hope you're listening, and we hope this is a help to you. And if you need more help, would like to talk further, we certainly invite you to call us. That number is 844-322-2742. So call us, and we would love to help you as much as we possibly can to show you the way of grace that is made available through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, you're listening to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is here with me today, and we're certainly glad that you are tuned in as well. All of this, you know, all of these doctrines, all of this theology we talk about, it's all for one purpose, and that's so that you can know Jesus personally and intimately, and to have that relationship with him be the transforming power in your very life. And that's why we've produced this wonderful series this month called The Jesus You Can Know. It's a in-depth look at the Jesus as revealed to us in the Word of God. It is powerful, it is personal, it is intimate, and it is transforming. And we want to put this particular series in your hands. Again, it's The Jesus You Can Know. It's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. And with that gift, you're going to help others get to know the same Jesus that you know as well. So give generously, and be sure when you do to request your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. You can do so online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call 844-322-2742. Michelle is standing by, and she will walk you through that process. Well, Andrew, we're going to go take one final call before this broadcast ends, and that's from Clay in Thorndale, Texas. Hi, Clay.
Hey, I was going to talk about something, but after Kimberly's call, I want to just say two verses. In Psalms 91, verse 15 and 16, I want to personalize it to her. This is, Kimberly has called upon me, and I have answered Kimberly. I will be with Kimberly in trouble. I will rescue Kimberly and honor Kimberly. With long life, I will satisfy Kimberly and let Kimberly see my salvation. Kimberly, eternal life's a long, long time, and God's using you, and you call Bob and them because they want to be your friend.
Amen.
All right, thank you, Bob.
Hey, thanks, Clay. Thanks for your call. Andrew, any last words? We've got about 30 or 40 seconds. We'd love to hear some final thoughts from you, my friend.
Yeah, well, you know, Clay really hit the nail on the head there. The Word of God is continually assuring. We're told that the truth sets us free, and that means that as long as we choose lies, if we believe untruths about God, we may be wrapped up in some depression, we may be wrapped up in some depressing thoughts, but God is always there, the comforter, the counselor, and his promise is that his truth always sets us free.
Well, thank you, Andrew. As always, we love having you on the broadcast. We'll look forward to your visit with us again next week. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your day, and hopefully it's an encouraging part to point you into the Word of God and to this wonderful love that's been given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned earlier, we have a wonderful resource we want to put in your hands. It's The Jesus You Can Know. Know him, and your life will never be the same. It's available to you for a gift this month, the Basic Gospel. All the information is at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and follow the instructions and be sure to request your copy of the Jesus You Can Know. Now for Andrew and for our entire Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas.